This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. May the God of joy be with you as we are called to share the gospel with all we meet. Remind us that we will be used to heal the broken, often lost in the sepsis. In the systems we have created, to feed those who don't have the forms filled out correctly, to bring hope to those who wandered the shadow alleys of despair. And this we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Please be seated. Happy Mother's Day to the ladies, of course. So today we are in between the ascension, where Jesus ascended to heaven on Thursday. We celebrate on Thursday, and Pentecost is next weekend. So we're in this kind of in-between place. But the reading shifts back the night before Jesus died. And he is saying or praying this, we call the great priestly prayer. So there's some things I want to focus on today. He, first of all, if you remember nothing of today, he prays for our protection. So it's kind of interesting to focus just on kind of one thing. Jesus prays for our protection. We'll get into it a little further. He does not pray that we'll be removed from evil or from all the trials and tribulations of life and the pressures of the world. But he asks the Father to protect us from evil and to sanctify us in all truth. So the last part was the one that kind of got me. There's always something that kind of gets you when you read a gospel or reading over and over, right? And this idea of Jesus sanctifying himself so that we may be sanctified in the truth is really kind of what jumped out at me. So sanctification, if we think sanctification, we normally think of sanctifying or consecrating a thing or a place, right? Sanctifying, consecrating an altar, dedicating it to worship, right? Which reminded me of a professor I had, my favorite professor at Virginia Theological Seminary. We had a retired bishop named Mark Dyer. And he called me Bishop Mark. Bishop Mark would teach us Christology and a lot of theological classes. And, you know, as you're doing that, it's like anything. It gets a little bit thick and a little bit dense. And he was such a good teacher. He had this great booming voice. And he would stop when he could see we were kind of glazed over. And he would tell us a story. So one of the stories he told us, before he became a bishop, he was at a church, and it sounds like he was positioned in the back of the church, and he saw a man taking a flag and bringing up, and was going to place it up on the altar. And then he looked a little closer, and he recognized the man, and he yelled out in his booming voice, "Cease and desist!" And the man stopped. Kind of jumped to like a salute phase. And then he came up and spoke to General George Patton, retired. And then he said, "I am the captain of this ship." He was a Navy man. "And in my church, our church, this is dedicated to the worship of God. We will put the important American flag in the back and we will salute it there." And of course, then you're like, "Oh, that's cool now." And then he would go right back into. So he would get into things exactly what we're talking about. The priestly prayer of Jesus reminds me of that saint, Bishop Mark. This idea of sanctifying an altar, sanctifying a place for worship, was really important. But it's also this idea where Jesus sanctifies himself. He makes us his protector. He sanctifies himself in order to protect us. Jesus is praying this prayer again, really at the Last Supper, one of his final prayers, right? And he's saying, he's taking up this mantle, asking the Father to protect us, because he knows the going will be tough for us. And he's also setting us aside. It's another word for sanctification. Setting aside to be part of this family of God and also part of God's redemptive plan. And I was thinking about that too as I was chopping some hedges a couple weeks ago, and I saw these two ladies nicely dressed walking up the driveway. I wonder what they can be. And they were wondering. Two Jehovah Witnesses were coming up. That's what I thought. But they came up. They tricked me. My wife had told me a story that she met two ladies that came up to the door and knocked on the wreath that was on the door. That my wife, very chatty, talking to him, "Oh yeah, I made that, and da 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 da, this and that." And she introduced herself, Kathleen, and they remembered her name. And they said, "Are you Kathleen's husband?" And I said, "Yeah, I'm Michael, da 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 da." And then they went into their spiel, right? And I went, they got me. So then what I normally do, I will talk to the Jehovah Witnesses. I kind of like talking to them. It gives me a break. I said, get out of the sun. Let's get in the shade. But then I say I'm a pastor, and I usually get the short spiel. Not with these two. They gave me the whole deal in a complimentary newsletter, right? So say what you will about the Jehovah Witnesses. They do feel exactly what it's talking about here, that sanctified means to be sent out. They go out in the hot sun, well-dressed, as their makeup is melting, you know, and do all that. Sanctification also means to be set aside as a community. So to be called to be communal witnesses. So this group right here, this 930 group, you are a community within the community of St. Joseph's, right, or St. Joe's. You're called to go out into the world, and you're sanctified. And this is what Jesus is praying about, this idea of communal witness about the body of Christ inhabiting the world, right? We are not given over to the powers and principalities of the world. We belong heart, soul, mind, body. We are faithful to God. God has made us to be God's, not the world's, which made me think of another thing. Sometimes when you're sitting there watching the news and you're watching all the bad news, the bad news, the bad news, the bad news, you're reading the paper, the bad news, and you're like, just disgusted with it, right? Reminds you that you do not belong to the world. Because if you were into that, then that's what we call the world, right? We use, at least, it's not the whole world, we know that, but it's that kind of bad stuff that's going on. So Jesus kind of knows what's happening because he lived our lives, right? He prays for our protection, that, and as we seek and follow him in all things, knowing that these bonds of love and the bond of truth that we witness to is in unity with the Father. He asks that we be one with him as he is one with the Father. He prays for our protection so that when we pursue things, his joy is made complete in our togetherness. So finally, when Jesus, others will not accept us as witnesses, and I used the example the other day, started taking on Father Marty's thing. Instead of someone died, there was someone, they're in heaven. Try saying that. People look at you like, what? It's such a radical idea, it seems like, and it really isn't. When someone dies, we believe they're in heaven. So why not say it? And I've just started saying that, and even my own family looks at me like I'm from Mars or something. But it's catching, so try that. It's still, some people just can't understand, right? This faith we have, this hope that we have in a risen life after death. So in summary, Jesus' great priestly prayer in this gospel is really Jesus' life insurance and his last will and testament. We are the beneficiaries. It's all rolled into one. So walk out of here today knowing that you are God's beloved. You are Christ's beneficiaries, hearing loud and clear that Christ's intentions for us and his gifts. And know that you are sanctified. You're sent out into the world by God. And as we always say at the end of the service, we always say, go forth in peace to love and serve the Lord. Hallelujah. Very good. Thank you.